You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whittaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whittaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whittaker.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhittaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Hey, photographer, Jessica Whittaker here, and welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. This episode is a solo show, and I'm going to be doing a Q&A for personal life, a little bit of photography, but nothing to do with photography business. I asked you guys over on my Instagram account to ask me questions, and I'm going to be talking about moving to New York City, my first solo trip to Australia, my travel plans, I'm going to Korea, what's in my camera bag, am I still religious, am I vaccinated, my tattoos, what's my workflow, how did I meet my boyfriend, the best film camera for beginners, why I do not shoot weddings anymore, if I could live anywhere in the world where it would be, and what's one thing on my bucket list that I want to accomplish in the next 5 years. So I'm going to try to get through all of the questions in this episode. If you are looking for photography teaching, then I have 40 other episodes here on the podcast that you can listen and learn from. I just wanted to try something new, and I haven't done a personal type podcast episode since August 3rd, 2020. I'm looking back at my history. So let's jump into it. Question number one is, I had a couple questions all about like moving to New York City, moving back. What do I think the timeline is? Have I changed my mind? I would love to move to New York City, but I've already done it twice, so I'm okay with not. It depends upon my boyfriend, honestly. So he took a job where he could choose Seattle or New York, and he chose Seattle. So he's always been open to moving to New York City. But now that his job is here and his team is here, I don't know if that's going to really be something that happens unless he somehow got transferred to a team that was based in New York for his work. So I would not move back to New York City as a single person. Like, if I hadn't met my boyfriend last year, I wouldn't go back, just because I went there for a year when I was 19 for a year of college. And then in 2017, I moved back as an adult with like an apartment living off a campus. So when I was there in school, I lived on campus. And it was me and my childhood best friend. We were roommates and we really liked our apartment. The location was amazing. It was on the Upper West Side on Riverside Drive, right off of the 98th Street subway station. So Riverside Park is really beautiful, more secluded park geography-wise. Very residential, really beautiful, along the water. Our apartment was really small, but it was nice because we had a, I mean, this is so bare minimum, but we had like a good sized stove. We had a medium sized fridge. We had an elevator for a year and then it broke. And the elevator was one of the big pulls for our non-negotiables. We also had laundry in the building, not in the unit. and both of us, our non-negotiable was we wanted an elevator and then we wanted laundry in the building. So for those who are not familiar with New York, it is more common than not to have no laundry in your apartment building whatsoever. And you usually would go and take your laundry to a laundromat or a service like a dry cleaner that will wash and then fold the laundry. And it's a blessing to have that extra amenity, which sounds like so crazy compared to the rest of the United States. And the laundry rooms in these different apartments really, really varies. Some of them are just so disgusting, nasty, rusty, crusty. One of the apartments that we looked at, I can't remember actually if we saw this one in person or if it was a listing. I think we saw it in person. It was in the, they're always in the basement, but it was in a basement that was like super tiny and it basically just fit four different appliances. And it was really dark and it was just like a little closet almost. And I feel like I have this faint memory of hearing like water dripping from the ceiling kind of vibe. So really icky. Like if you drop a sock on the ground, you might as well leave it because it's about to disintegrate. And then we really were blessed with our building that the entire basement was very clean. There were still cockroaches, but that just comes with the territory. But it was very clean. It was bright. Like the lighting was nice. There were a lot of different washing machines. You never really ran into the problem of going downstairs with all your clothes and then having the washers be full. Maybe on the weekend, but during like prime time. But yeah, I never experienced it. It wasn't a problem, especially because we had an elevator. But a year into our lease, our elevator actually broke, and we I forgot how old we were. It was 2017, 2019, and now I'm 28 and it's 2023. So I was really, really young. Now I think I would have been more like negotiated with my landlord and like put my foot down, because a part of the reason why the rent was high is because of these kind of amenities, right? Which like amenities, okay, so crazy. But when you're young, you're like too nervous. So we did ask, and my roommate was more of the one who like, she's the kind of person that I would be really nervous. Like, can you, you know, I don't like the way that this drink tastes. Do you think you could go and ask? And she's like, okay. So, you know, there is always one of those people in the dynamic who is a little bit more like confident in that way and like doesn't have a problem speaking up. And so she even like tried to talk to him and he, you know, takes advantage and didn't really do anything, and it was just like, whatever, you still have to pay. So I don't know if that's normal or not, but we were really pissed about it because we were on the fifth floor, and I know that's pretty common and even people have higher walk-ups, but our staircase was really narrow. It was actually marble too, and it was a spiral staircase, so it was super slick. And when you're carrying all your groceries, it is just such a pain. And I know that comes with the territory of New York City, but that's one of the reasons why we wanted an elevator, to make moving out and moving in easier. So moving out was a nightmare. And doing laundry, you're carrying your stuff down. But then because the laundry room was in the basement, we actually had to go outside, out the back of the building, and then down like a courtyard, not really a courtyard, it's the back of the building, but and then through an alley that had rats in it, cockroaches again, that same, like, why is it dripping? Why do we hear rain when it's not even raining outside? And then go into the basement that way. So that was also just kind of like, are you kidding me? Why was I starting to talk about that? Oh, because I don't want to deal with that anymore. If I moved back, it's just, New York is so magical and it's so wonderful. Well, all that being said, but the thing is, if you have the desire to go, I definitely think that you should go and move there, even if it's just for a year or two. But as somebody who's 28 years old and maybe 29 this spring, I'm a bit older, and after having the conveniences of living in Seattle, apartments here are just like bare minimum, you know, we do have a washer dryer in the apartment, these basic kind of amenities that we're used to as Americans, but then also having lived in a home. And I just don't see, I would not want to move back to New York and be in that same situation that I was when I was like 23, and just having to have all of these kind of, they, it adds up, like these obstacles on a daily basis that just adds like extra stress in a way. I don't, it's not stress, like I'm so stressed out, but it's just hard to live there for like daily chores and stuff. So the only way that I would be open to moving back is if my boyfriend wanted to, and then finding an apartment that had amenities in it that was like a new construction. I don't want to have to deal with cockroaches anymore, June bugs, rats, mice. Oh my gosh, there were so many mice in my apartment. And I don't think my roommate had it as much because her room flanked, like in the layout, flanked my bedroom and then the bathroom. But my room flanked another apartment unit. And I don't know, like, if that lady was really nasty or something about, like, leaving food out and stuff, but there were, like, mice that would always come from between, that would live in that, in the wall that we shared. And one time there, I mean, I came back, I'd come back home in the wintertime quite often, like, for a longer period of time, and I came back and there's, like, mouse poop all over, like, the rug, and one time there had been a mouse that died in the corner right under my bed. My bed was pushed into the corner. And I, like, I mean, who knows how long it was before I smelled the smell. And like, I'm texting my super, my landlord, they don't really care. So my roommate's boyfriend at the time, he like, so thank God he was there, or thank God she was dating him, because I don't know what we would have done, honestly, like truly. So he went and he took the care of the mouse, but it was just so disturbing. So I don't want to pay that amount of rent. I mean, I think our, I don't, my rent was $1,600, and then I think total it was like $2,500. Yeah, no, 27. Yeah, okay. So anyway, my roommate paid $1,000 and I paid $1,600. My room was significantly larger than hers. So yeah, I think it was about $2,700. Really, really expensive for what it was, and I just don't want to pay that price anymore with all of those just like gross inconveniences, because I don't value living in New York that same way anymore. It's like, if you value the experience, it's totally different, but my priorities are just different now. So the only way that I would be open to it, it sounds kind of like, I don't want to sound like prissy or like a princess, but is in a new construction building, and unfortunately that costs more. So I don't think that spending that much on rent, I mean, when I say it's like $6,000 for a new construction one bedroom apartment, because I wouldn't want to be in a studio situation. I just wouldn't. And as a homeowner too, that is just so, I can't, it is so hard to wrap my brain around spending $3,000 to, I mean, I'm sure I'm gonna pay less, but you know what I mean, like, then for rent, I don't know. So I'm not saying I wouldn't ever do it, but it is definitely dependent on what if my boyfriend's open to, if he wants to go, because I'm fine either way. But the more that housing goes up there, the more I'm like, I am not interested. We want to buy a house together in like a couple years. So does it really make sense to live in New York? Well, we could put that money towards a down payment and then some, you know? So anyway, I'm not swearing it off and saying no, but if it was up to me, no. And it would be interesting. I feel like he's going to change his mind over the next, I mean, he has no choice. We are in Seattle, but I don't really think that he at the end of the day would choose to want to move there just because of the housing cost alone. Like, that's so insane to spend that much when you do not 100% want, like, care to be there. Does that make sense? I mean, I love it so much. And if it was cheaper, if it was the same price as Seattle housing, which is already insanely expensive, my boyfriend pays, I think, like $3,000 for his apartment. But if he split that, you know, but I can't justify like an apartment that's $5,000, when I don't really have like this insane passion to live there, right? It's all about what you want to prioritize. So, anyway, so my next question is asking questions about like solo travel, my travel plans. Okay, so I feel like this year, this summer 2023, is kind of the first summer where everything feels like quote unquote normal, where we don't have, in comparison to the pandemic or even comparison to last summer, we don't have to wear masks. I still wear masks because people are so disgusting, like masks on the plane or honestly, even at Orange Theory the other day, this lady's hacking away, coughing, doesn't even cover her mouth. We're on the treadmill. It's like spewing. The fan is like, the molecules are parachuting in, onto my water bottle. I can't. But anyways, it's the first kind of normal summer, in my opinion. And the first solo trip I ever did was in 2019 in December, right before the pandemic. And I went to Sydney, Australia, and I loved it. I love Sydney. I would love to go back to Australia. And I really want to take advantage of the fact that because I work for myself, I can create the schedule. I have to plan it far out in advance, but I have the ability to go on these longer plane rides where, like, my boyfriend, that would cut into 2 days of his paid time or his vacation days or like pay time off, right? So this year or next year, probably more like 2024, I would love to do more trips by myself. I found that it's just hard with friends, like, to get anything on the calendar. One of my good friends, Jenny, she's a wedding photographer, and she's like, I want to go to Europe this summer, but she can't actually plan anything because in case she gets like bookings. And so I've just kind of realized, like, okay, if I want to travel, I kind of have to do it by myself. And I'm really thankful that I did go to Sydney because it taught me that I'm able to do it. And I'm really, really, really anxious, nervous flyer ever since after the pandemic. I don't know what happened, but I have like panic attacks before I get on the plane. And my doctor actually prescribed me Xanax. And I haven't taken it yet, but when you guys listen to this, I'll be just getting back, or I'll have just gotten back from a trip where my boyfriend and I went somewhere for a friend's wedding, and it's like a 6.5 hour flight or so. It's a longer plane ride, and so I think I'm gonna take the Xanax to see, because I'm kind of nervous to take it for the first time by myself ever, but since he's gonna be there, I'm hoping that it's going to be an amazing tool for me to be able to not have a panic attack and to be able to also gain the confidence to travel again, because I don't want to be limited. I don't want to get in my own way. So my next travel plan is that I'm going to go and visit one of my friends in South Korea. I'm really, really excited. I'm going in the fall. I don't want to say exactly when. But we're going in the fall, and it's going to be for a good chunk of time, and I'm really excited. She's lived there for 7 years now, teaching English, and she's about to move back to Seattle in February, so this is the last opportunity and window to see her, so I'm really excited. This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by Contractista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. Contractista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney,
but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography-contracts and protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photography-contracts.
Oh, the question isn't what is in my camera bag. It's what is the best camera bag. My favorite camera bag, I have two different types. I have a backpack and then I have a rolling suitcase that I love. So my camera bag that I have, I'll have both these things linked in the show notes, is a LowPro backpack, and it fits my MacBook. It fits two cameras, I think like five lenses, and because it's LowPro, they also make these soft shell accessory pouches that I love that are little different compartments, and they slide into the backpack perfectly. You can configure it totally. And I really like the camera backpack for when I am like, okay, so I live in Seattle, but a lot of my clients are in New York City. So I'll go to New York and I don't want to carry around the suitcase, which I'll talk about in a second. So the backpack is perfect for those kind of situations, or just honestly any like photo shoot where we're moving around a lot, we're in a city situation. I really love the camera backpack, which, by the way, I am coming to New York the weekend of October 13th, which is a Friday, Saturday the 14th, and Sunday the 15th, but Sunday is fully booked out. There's still availability on Friday and Saturday. If you're interested, you can always send me a DM or just head to jessicawhitaker.co/book. So if I'm not doing a photo shoot like that, then I have this camera trunk, which is like a suitcase, and it's TSA friendly, so I could actually bring it on the airplane. It's shockproof. It's really cool. It's from Banfrotto, and it is on wheels, and I love how it opens up where I can just see everything and reach in and grab, and it's much quicker than getting in and out of a backpack. So, especially for my YouTube video behind the scenes, I love this thing because I can just put it on the table if we're shooting in a studio or if we're out in a field or something, which usually we are for YouTube photo shoots. I can just have it out and also don't have to worry about carrying a backpack on my back. Like, I can be a bit more free, if that makes sense. So those are my two different camera bags. They serve different purposes. I would say if you're a wedding photographer and you haven't looked into a suitcase type situation, definitely look into it because it is so amazing. Okay, my next question is, are you still religious? And I feel like it kind of coincides with, are you vaccinated? But okay, am I still religious? Yes. So I'm a Christian, but I'm like progressive Christian. So for instance, like I vote Democrat. I am a Democrat, a liberal, and I also am like an ally with like LGBTQ+. So yes, I'm still religious, but I feel like I used to post a lot about it just because I was sharing more about my personal life. And so if the question's coming because like I never see you post about church or like your Bible reading or anything anymore, it's just because I have really pulled back from sharing on stories because I just haven't. I don't know. I mean, I'll have some weeks where I do have like inspiration or I just want to share, but most of the time I'm not really sharing on stories. I go in and out of it. So I think that's why some people are like, are you still a Christian? So the answer is yes. And then are you vaccinated? 100% yes, I'm vaccinated, and I actually need to get a booster shot. Okay, I had a couple questions about my tattoos because I've been sharing that I actually am getting tattoo removal. So I have three tattoos. Two I got at the same time, and I got them when I turned 21, like the day after I turned 21 in New York, by Evan Tattoo. So he is an amazing, fine line tattoo artist. He does a lot of celebrities now. He is really incredible. And at the time, he was at West 4 Tattoo in New York City in the West Village, I believe. Now he might be in LA. But he was super patient, so kind. And so I got two tattoos done by him, a 7, and then I got praying hands with flowers. And then my other tattoo I got is a W, but it looks like an M. And I got it with a friend who's no longer my friend. And so we got matching tattoos, but their last name starts with an M, and then mine starts with a W. So we got something that would be, like, even if we weren't friends anymore, which we're not, it would still, like, make sense for us. But mine looks like an M. So I'm getting that lasered off, and it sucks because it was a really expensive, stupid mistake. My tattoo costs, like, $50, and it's, like, over $1,000 to laser off. But I'm on the third session, and I have my fourth actually coming up in September in a few weeks, and they said it'll take about 9. I don't plan on getting any more tattoos because I don't want to pay the price. I'm really happy, though, with my other two. I don't regret it, and it's been 7 years, and they still look amazing. Okay, another question is about my workflow for photography. So I have been trying out different AI editing plugin tools, a handful of different ones, and I really like it for, like, optimizing my workflow, not so much where it's doing the work for me. I don't know how to explain it. Okay, so in Build and Bloom, I've posted about trying different things, like Imagine AI, I always forget how you say it, Imagine, and then Aftershoot, somebody else has suggested to do Filter Pixel. So I want to try all these different ones. And I had a comment that was like, after I tried Imagine AI, I really liked that one. I also like Aftershoot, but anyway, they were like, oh, I don't think that this is really, like, it's right to do it because it's not your work. When, yes, that's true for all these programs where you're able to, like, give it a prompt and it can create a really cool, like, AI image. What's that called? It's like Midjourney or something. But these programs, essentially, like, for example, with Imagine AI, it's simply pattern recognition. So what you do is you sync up your Lightroom edits with the software, and then it's able to see, like, all the common denominators of how you edit and, like, basically what your preset is. And then you're able to import your photos right into Lightroom, and then you go to the software, and then it's able to take what you've already it's able to take what you've already edited with your work and just apply it onto this new set. So it's still 100% your work. It's just that it's speeding up the process for you. So I have been loving that because it saves me a lot of time, especially if I'm doing photo shoots, like, for friends, where I have a lot of different teaching and different resources on how to deal with friends and family discounts, how to deal with free shoots, but I do a couple of free shoots for friends, and I will 100% use a editing program like Imagine AI or Aftershoot for that, because it cuts my workflow into, like, a quarter of the time. So what I'll do is I'll cull the photos. I like narrative. Aftershoot also has culling, if you want it to be all in one, and then I'll import that to Lightroom, and then now edit using one of these different AI editing platforms. And I need to have a few more months with all of these just so I can really recommend like what I think each program is best for. But yeah, and then I'll deliver it. I like to use PicTime. I want to try more of PixieSet because I feel like or I've heard that you can do contracts, invoices. I do contracts and invoices through HoneyBook, but having that resource for other photographers to be able to recommend if PixieSet is good, where it can be even more all-in-one, I think that's awesome. So yeah, that is my workflow. That doesn't count, like, all the client experience stuff. Okay, the next question is, how did you meet your boyfriend?
This podcast episode is brought to you by HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a client management program. You are able to have your client submit their inquiry form on your website and have this system automate the entire booking process. So once you get that client inquiry, they're popped at the top of your funnel and booked hands-free. So now instead of the cycle of responding to inquiries manually, answering the questions, following up with ghosted clients, you know the drill. This process should now take you 10 minutes because it is automated. So before we get back to the episode, let's talk about getting paid. Another feature I love is that you can set up a payment schedule with your clients and HoneyBook will automatically remind them that the payment is almost done and it will invoice them. I love that you could set up various payment schedules with your clients. You can break it down by percentage, exact amount, and HoneyBook will do all the math for you. It will automatically remind them when payments are due or about to be due, and it will invoice them. So there's no more back and forth for you trying to track down that final payment. You can head to jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook to snag a free trial with no credit card required to set up. And if you love it, you'll get 50% off your first year. That's jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook.
You guys knew I had to put in the commercial break. Okay, how did I meet my boyfriend? We met over a year ago on a dating app, and our first date was in April, and now April 2022. And now it's August 2023. So it's been over a year. And if I tell you guys the full story, you're going to be very confused, concerned, or inspired. And I feel like it needs so much more context and detail. So let me tell you, and then I'll leave you be to be concern, to call the FBI or to like implement for yourself, and then you can tell me in DMs if you want me to go more into depth. But basically, I would always do well. My mom made me start dating, basically, and so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna make this as efficient as possible. So I'd go on like 3 dates in a row at night, and so this was season 2 for me, where it was my first dates of the spring, of the summer. And I had a date before him, and then I had like an hour in between because I ended the date early for the other guy. So I was like, okay, I could either sit here and like, I'm not interested in this guy, we clearly don't connect or whatever, or I can go to Nordstrom and make my returns and then have a salad at the Nordstrom cafe before this other date with my now boyfriend. So yeah, I was not expecting to actually like want to be in a relationship whatsoever, but it was honestly love at first sight. When I saw him, I was so confused about, I'm like, wow, this guy's really hot, like in Seattle, that's rare. Okay, so like, I mean, I'm talking like no wrinkles on the shirt, and the guy before, let me just tell you, his shirt looked like it had been tie-dyed, it was so wrinkled, like it was like damp at the bottom of his hamper with a wet towel over it, and he was like, oh shoot, my shirt, reaches down, it was so bad. Anyway, so it was a very big contrast, right? I was like, no wrinkles in the shirt. This is like so bare minimum. But anyway, we met on a dating app. So if you guys want me to go more into depth with like, wait, she said she went on 3 dates a day. Yeah, and you should too. And I can talk all about that, honestly, in its own episode. So just let me know on Instagram DMs. Okay, my next question is, what's the best film camera for beginners? I have tons of videos on YouTube that will show you guys more in depth depending on what exactly your needs are. But my number one suggestion to everybody is the Minolta X370. You can get it for under $100, which is like crazy because when I bought it, I think it was like $40, but now with inflation and demand, and I got mine like 5-6 years ago. But the Minolta X370 is amazing. You can go into keh.com and find it. And I love it because if you don't know anything about photography, like you just want a film camera to start photography, it's perfect. But let's talk more for those who are listening who are photographers. It's amazing because you really just have to worry about like your, on that camera, your aperture, because it will tell you using a light meter inside what your shutter speed should be. And then your ISO is determined by the film. But a lot of cameras are way more manual where you have to like determine your shutter speed, which I get is like fun, but I'm not trying to like, I'm just trying to get a cute pic. You could also do the Canon AE-1, but instead of the shutter speed inside that, it's going to tell you the aperture. So I prefer the shutter speed because you don't have as much like risk and stuff with the photo not turning out. So yeah, Minolta X370, and you can get it on KEH. I have a coupon code with them. It's on my YouTube. I believe it's JW-SHOP1. Like, so, why so long? JW-SHOP1. And that will get you a percentage off. Okay, why don't you shoot weddings anymore?
This episode of the Build a Blue podcast is brought to you by a tool that's cut my photography workflow in half without cutting into half my software budget. Like most photographers, I use the blog feature on my website to upload galleries. Narrative is a software that you download onto your computer that cuts down the time it takes to build out blog posts from 1 hour to 10 minutes. Narrative works on almost all website platforms: Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, WordPress, the list goes on. There are so many bonus features to Narrative, including a Lightroom plugin, SEO integration, adding text in the blog post, cropping within the program, which means no more back and forth with Lightroom. Oh, and it also uploads all your images as individual files, so it's not one big collage, meaning that it's Pinterest friendly. I know what you're thinking, this seems like a miracle, but how much does it cost? With Narrative, there are three package options starting at just $6 a month. And heads up, right now the program is only available for iOS, meaning Mac users. Go to jessicawhitaker.co/blog tool. You can also check out the description of this podcast episode, the show notes down below. I'll link it as well. That's jessicawhitaker.co/blog tool.
The last wedding that I photographed, where I was the primary photographer, was December 2017, and I haven't taken on any weddings since. I don't plan to. I've second shot for my friends, but the reason why I stopped shooting weddings, and I had done that for like a couple of years, is because number one, I wasn't super passionate about taking on. Like, I didn't want to do wedding photography full time. I enjoyed the clients that I was taking on, but it almost, in a way, like looking back, wouldn't have made sense to just do like a few weddings a year and then call myself a full, like a wedding photographer. So it's kind of about my offerings. But then also, I had so many other things going on with my photography business, like other clients that I wasn't able to get, like other clients with branding or family portraits or seniors, where I'm not able to give the wedding clients the detail-oriented attention that they need to have an amazing client experience, in my opinion. Now things change because you're able to automate your business a lot more now versus, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, where I didn't even think of this when I was doing weddings, but like send them a brochure before and like send them a gift. And I mean, okay, gift, yes, but there's all these little things that you can actually automate in your business to add that personal touch. But I was just spread too thin where I wasn't really able to give them the experience that they really needed beyond what they needed to be able to be booked and to be known that they're taken care of and seen and do planning calls. But compared to like my other friends who were doing weddings, where it was a lot more detailed, I wasn't able to keep that up. So yeah, that's why I don't shoot weddings anymore. And now I don't have the bandwidth to deliver that unless I really want to restructure my business, which I don't. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap up with these two questions. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be and why? Okay, I think realistically, like, okay, if I had all the money in the world, it would be New York. But realistically, I could see myself doing something maybe in Copenhagen. I went to Copenhagen in 2019 and I really loved it. I felt very safe there. I would be prioritizing safety, so I'd be choosing somewhere not in America. I would love to be there because the weather is very similar to Seattle where I live. I don't mind the overcast. It's very cozy. There's a lot of diversity with different food options. It's a very walkable city, but then also the public transportation, like the subway, is amazing, very clean. I love also the option for all the biking. So I would choose Copenhagen. I also really love, like, the lifestyle is so different compared to America that I think it would be a really fun thing to be a part of. It just like to experience something so opposite, I guess. Okay. The last question is, what is one thing on your bucket list that you hope to accomplish in the next 5 years? Okay, I'm going to go for personal and professional. Actually, no, I'm just going to do personal. Okay, I think that for me, I would love to be settled into a house, a different house with my boyfriend. Well, I would want to be married. I want to be married like next month. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, so when are we getting engaged? But I would definitely want to be like in a home with him that is like decorated. It's done. I'll be like 32, 33. I don't know. I hope I'm not pregnant, but who knows? I'm actually, you know what? Sorry, not pregnant. I'm trying to get a surrogate. I told him basically I'm somebody who loves like to shock and like I like the extreme. So early on I'd be like, oh, like I want a surrogate, and it's like we haven't even talked about getting engaged. No, not like that kind of delusion, but I told him that I want a surrogate because we could talk about that later, you guys. I'll pass out basically, but I kind of hope that if I did give birth, I would pass out during it and they can just like yank it out or cut it out of me. But anyways, so I'd want to be in the house with 6 Shih Tzu dogs that are all rescued. For those of you guys who don't know, my dog Bumblebee passed away in January, and I was looking actually at the history of the episodes, and one of the episodes before the last like Q&A basically was all about my dog that I adopted. His name was Bumblebee, nicknamed Puffy, because during the pandemic he's a Shih Tzu, and it's a small dog that is very curly, fluffy hair, or long, not so much fluffy, but anyway, and you need to groom them, especially during the summertime, because they overheat, and just any small dog, I'm like, what? Anyways, okay, I was gonna say, I see so many people who have, like, dogs that need to get shaved during the summer, and they just don't, and I just feel so bad. I'm gonna call animal control. Anyway, so with the Shih Tzus, like, during COVID, though, you couldn't go to the groomer, so his hair just got so long where it was like double his size, and so his nickname was Puffy, even though he'd be like shaved down most of the time. Anyway, so he passed away. When I adopted him, I got him from Ginger's Pet Rescue, which if you're in Seattle or the Northwest, I love them. It's also really unique because they pay for, at least at the time, and I think it's still the same, they pay for the medical bills for the dog, for anything. I mean, it's not gonna be okay 2 years later, let me call Ginger's Pet Rescue because Bumblebee needs like his tooth extracted, but it's like Bumblebee had to get several different surgeries done, and they covered that. Like when we adopted him, they're like, he needs all these things. They already had him set up with a vet, and they covered it. So it's amazing because I think a lot of people hesitate to adopt because they're like, oh, we don't know what we're walking into. Okay, like same with your labradoodle. But anyway, with the pet rescue being able to ease that, I think enables people to feel more comfortable adopting, which is super important. So they believe that he was about 8, and it became pretty prevalent a couple of years into like 2022 that he was significantly older than 8. And he passed away from old age. Basically, like, you see signs, but it comes pretty fast, within like a month or so. Apparently, this is what happened to my childhood dog and then with Bumblebee. And once they stop eating and drinking, and you guys know dogs. Like, dogs are obsessed with food. And I remember I was like, he wouldn't eat. And so I took him to Chick-fil-A to get French fries, and he wouldn't eat those. And he'd usually, like, have them vacuumed down like within moments of getting to the drive-thru typically. So yeah, very 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 sad, and I miss him every day. Still talk as if he's here. And I just love Shih Tzus too, and I'm really passionate about rescuing, and I would love to have like 5 or 6. I'm not even kidding. If I was in a home that had a yard and had a little bit more room to be able to accommodate comfortably those dogs. But let's just say 2 to start with. I did tell my boyfriend that, like, I've been telling him all this summer, like, I probably will end up wanting to adopt a dog in the wintertime, like, you know, and he's like, okay, okay. But now I'm kind of actually feeling like, okay, I really do want to adopt a dog, but if it depends on what I also want to prioritize. Like, if I want to travel, like I said, like 20 minutes ago, then it's not really going to be the smartest thing necessarily. So yeah, I just have a lot of like thinking to do, but in 5 years, I'm going to be, you know, my dream would to be to have just so many senior foster dogs. And I build, like, I have, okay, you know how some houses have mother-in-law suites? Like, the mother-in-law suite is theirs. Oh, it'd be so cute. And no, actually, they all sleep with me in my bed. But anyways, the mother-in-law suite will be my boyfriend. I hope you guys enjoyed this different solo episode. I also have been toying around. I don't know when it comes to the podcast structure what is really going to be the best. Should I do catch up? I feel though, like, so sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts, I'm like, get to the point, like, skip ahead of your personal life and tell me the story you're gonna tell that I came here for. So I'm trying to be like, okay, if I do a lesson, if I'm like six things to avoid with your photo shoot, I can't be like chirping away about my personal life for the, you know, first bit of it. But then does it really fit in if I insert it into the end? I feel like maybe it needs to be every other episode. I'm still really getting into the groove, and I've definitely hid behind the guest episodes. I originally was going to do like every 3 weeks a guest episode, but I just kind of became very insecure and like doubted myself. And also I've just been in a very depressive funk, and I'm kind of trying to glow up. I thought I was going to glow up, and then I like flopped again, and now I'm trying to glow up again, but it's a constant battle. Adopts a dog. No, so I am still trying to figure out the structure, but I did myself a disservice by hiding behind just doing guest episodes because I felt like what I had to say wasn't valuable. Not saying that this episode is valuable whatsoever, but in terms of teaching. And so I'm like, is it too repetitive? Whatever. So I'm trying to find my bearings. But I do remember that when I've been doing this podcast since, I think, like 2018 possibly, is for like three episodes like every 2 months or something, and then during the pandemic I picked it back up, and now I'm calling this like season two, and I'm just trying to still find my structure. But I remember when I was doing it during the pandemic, I had a handful of episodes where I was able to work through the, like, teach the lessons but work in a lot more of like my personal opinion and feel a little bit more freedom to go on longer tangents and to also like be a little bit more silly. I'm so used to, after like 9 years of doing YouTube, and I mean really only how many years of doing photography, but you have to be so concise in what you say for like people to actually get the information, because they're only going to watch to a certain extent. But then now, so that already felt kind of restricting, or I'm used to that kind of more restricting, like, okay, you have to really get to the point. But now with even shorter form content, like TikTok, like Instagram Reels, it feels even more strange to give myself like the freedom to talk for a really long time. So anyway, I'm still trying to find my bearings. So if you have any suggestions or have a preference, rather, please let me know over on Instagram DM. And if you are somebody who's listened to the show a couple of times or since the beginning and you haven't given it a rating, please go over and do so. Now Spotify actually has it where you just like tap, you click over to the podcast page, and then you tap and can give it 5 stars. Or on Apple, you can also rate it as well. At the end of the day, it not only helps boost it in the charts, but it just is really encouraging, because a lot of the times I feel like I'm just shouting into the void. And honestly, lately, I just feel really discouraged and like a flop. So if you do enjoy in any way, it would be so amazing to be able to see that like kind of materialized with just feedback. So whether you want to let me know in DMs what you prefer for podcast style and structure, or leave a 5-star rating. I really do believe in you, and I believe in your business. It's also a really exciting time of year, I think, because it's the new year. It's like new year 2.0. It's 2023 2.0. Whenever school comes around, even if we have been out of school for many years, it is just a breath of fresh air, change of seasons, and the change is so drastic that it really does feel like a new year. And so I'm excited for all the things to come. I'm really excited for some of the ideas I also have in store, and I'm really excited for you as well. So I believe in you. I believe in your business. Thank you so much for listening today.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whittaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhittaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.